Bless you this evening, and welcome to the Tabernacle of Deliverance Sunday evening service. What we're doing today is we're testing out our Twitter setup, because since Periscope went out of business, we're testing out Twitter services as well. But then again, once again, welcome to the Tabernacle of Deliverance service today. Today is Resurrection Sunday, and we're excited about what God has done for us with Christ rising from the dead. So I'm excited today. I'm excited about what God has been doing for us, with us, and through us throughout the year. So this day that y'all, some people call it Easter, is really Resurrection Sunday, and it's about Christ rising from the dead. And not only that, what was done when he went to the cross and when he rose. So today's message is going to focus a little on what Christ has done for us when he went to Calvary and rose, and that is born again. Today we're going to talk about being born again. I know people have heard that subject, born again, but I want to talk to you about that today. Because at one point, people had a thing called a born-again syndrome. Everybody was talking about people being born again and being religious or whatever. Let's talk about being born again today. Bow your heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for another opportunity to come before your people today. Oh God, those that are watching by our video or by the television broadcast, or however they watch this broadcast today, I ask that you touch every liberal soul under the sound of my voice today, and that you encourage them to walk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your Bible. Today, I want to talk to you about born again. Now, Many people actually think when they go to church, they're born again. Many people think if they shake a preacher's hand, it gives them eternal life. But that's not how to be born again, according to the scripture. All right. Get your Bibles and go with me to John 8:37. Now let's talk about being born again. Let's talk about being born again. It's a hot topic. Everybody running around saying, I'm born again. In fact, in the 80s, many people was running around saying, I'm born again. I'm born again. Then everybody saying, I'm born again. So everybody was trying to find out, what have you been born again with or from? Now, we all know that we are born once through our mother's womb, but people are running around saying, I'm born again. So what is born again? What is born again today? What was it then? Okay, so let's go to John 8:37, and let's talk about it. All right. John 8:37. Okay, and it says, okay, wait. Okay, I know okay, hold on. There we were talking about that. You know, them scriptures cross up sometime, you know. It's 1837. That wasn't 830. I know something about 1837. I'm human, I make some fumbles. 837. And it reads as follows. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king? Art thou a king? And then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I'm going to read it again. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Thou art a king. And then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Born again. Everybody's born again. Jesus told Pilate the cause and reason why he came into the world was one, he was going to get to see him. They was going to get to witness Christ Jesus himself, not nobody telling him. Not nobody telling them that, oh, the Christ is running around. No, Pilate was going to get to see this man himself. He was going to get to hear this man's words himself. That's up. That's heavy. That is heavy. Pilate was going to get to see and hear the Lord speaking. That's something. Because the scripture says, listen to the verse. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, thou art a king, thou art a king. Then, and Jesus answered, saying, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Did you hear that? He tells Pilate, you say that I'm a king, right? So you know I'm a king. All right. And he goes on to say, to this end was I born, and for this cause. The Jews think they killed Jesus, but the scripture said, for this cause, Christ came into the world, that we might be born again. Because we weren't going to be born again without Christ going to Calvary. We wasn't going to obtain eternal life without Christ going to Calvary for us. So the scripture here says, because I want to make this clear, it was no accident that Christ went to Calvary. It was no accident that Christ gave up his life. The scripture says here in John 18:37, that Pilate therefore said unto him, thou art a king. Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now, listen to this. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that heard, that's why I constantly tell people, everybody that walked with Jesus didn't hear. Some people came to Jesus to fool. Some people came to Jesus just for miracles. Some people came to Jesus just because Lazarus arose from the dead. Everybody didn't come to Jesus because they wanted to serve him. Some people came to him because they wanted the miracles. Some people came because they heard about the miracles. Some people came because they heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. They didn't come for the word of God. They didn't come for salvation. They didn't come to be delivered. They didn't come to be made free. Tell them yes. Oh, no, some people came into the world. Jesus came into the world for those who would hear his voice. I don't know if some of y'all having problems on YouTube of picking up the broadcast today. I hope not, but I have one person contacting me. I hope y'all are able to pick it up. It should not be a problem. It was with Periscope shutting down that it affected Twitter. So we're doing Twitter in a roundabout way. We're hoping Twitter completes today also. But we'll be working on it. They're working on it to get a connection, a full connection with Twitter, and then that'll be fine. But anyway, Jesus, I don't know where they can see us on YouTube. Okay, so Jesus came into the world that we might be saved if we wanted to be. And Pilate found that out that day. The thing about this scripture here is Jesus was signifying his purpose. A lot of people don't have no purpose. A lot of people have no purpose in life. They have no purpose. But Jesus signified what his goal was, when, and why he came. It says it right here in verse 37 of chapter 18. It says, "For this cause came I into the world, and that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Being a Bible scholar, being a Bible teacher, being a student of the Bible does not guarantee your eternal life. It does not guarantee your eternal life. What guarantees your eternal life is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Becoming born again of the Spirit of God. Because we were once born of our mother. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And verse 4. Starting at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'll read it again. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" This is a ruler now. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's heavy. That's heavy. That's very heavy. Why is it heavy? Nicodemus was a ruler. Nicodemus was a ruler and a teacher. Nicodemus was a man that was a ruler of the Jews. Yeah. Now, to be a ruler of the Jews, you had to know the scriptures. You had to know what the scripture said, but yet Nicodemus couldn't understand something so simple. Nicodemus had no clue who Jesus Christ was. No clue. So he asked him, "Man, how in the world am I going to be born again? Am I going to enter into my mother's womb? She done dead and gone, brother. I want you to tell me how this is going to happen." And Jesus said, marveling at him and saying, "Wait a minute. You call yourself a ruler of the Jews. And you don't know this?" Something so simple, you don't know? Nicodemus said, no, I don't know. I want you to tell me. Jesus made it simple. He said, "Except." He said, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you ain't going to see the kingdom of God. You ain't going to enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus student get it. Your doctrinal teaching cannot save you. Did you hear me? Your doctrinal teaching cannot save you. How much you know about God according to books and teaching can't save you. You must have an personal experience with God, yes, by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Everybody running around is see stuff. Is he stuff? Everybody get all dolled up when the churches are open and go looking all good. Stepping in those churches looking good, and their hearts is black can be. Some of their hearts are blacker than this phone. Black. Jesus said, "Except you be born of the Spirit, the water and the Spirit, you ain't going into the kingdom of God. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen." People get all dressed up to go to church on Easter Sunday. Don't live nothing. Some of them just got through partying and gambling the night before and doing whatever nonsense they were doing. And all of a sudden on Sunday morning, they're getting all dressed up to go to church. They think they're going to impress God, but they're only going to show up in front of man because man can't save them. Not spiritual, it's eternal salvation. Of course a man can save you from catching a bullet if you got a gun to shoot back or a duck grab you or whatever. Of course. But that's not eternal salvation. That's the thing about this. The thing that Nicodemus was saying here, he could not understand how to be born again. And he was a ruler of other people. Now imagine all the people that he was ruling over and misleading. Just like preachers today. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 14. Now, this is an interesting verse. We're talking about being born again today. Oh, my goodness, I didn't change the topic. We're talking about being born again. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. A man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Let me read that again. A man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Did you hear what I just said? A man that is born of a woman, first birth. We're born once through our mother's womb, and we're born a second time through the birth of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, resurrection from the dead, and him dying on the cross. Well, dying on the cross and being rose from the dead. A man that is born of a woman. And everybody can testify to this. Everybody can testify that men that are born of a woman is of a few days. And guess what? God promised us 70 years. If by reason of strength, we get 80 and some get beyond that. But some cut themselves off. They don't get their 70 years. They cut themselves off because of their sinful ways. They cut themselves off. They don't receive God's eternal blessings because of their ways and the way they live. I'm not talking about people dying of sickness. I'm talking about people causing themselves to be cut off by their deeds. They never get the second birth through Jesus Christ. They only obtain the first birth and live a few days. Being born again. Jesus knew that we would all be born one time first. And he knew that we needed to be born a second time spiritually. That we could become heirs into the kingdom of God. Because we were not heirs in the kingdom of God because we were all born in a sinful nature. And what the funny thing about us all being born in a sinful nature, we carry on the sin. We carry on the sin. It's one thing to be born in sin. And it's another thing to carry on in sin, live a sinful life, and just become religious. You must be born again. So Job summed it up here. He said, a man that's born of a woman of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. He can't stay out of trouble. He lives in trouble. He does trouble. He just trouble. You ever met somebody like that? They stay in trouble every day. The parents, when they were younger, the parents said, Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, you know, to the parents, got tired, tell them, Johnny, don't do. Some of them just went upside their head. We need to understand that any man born on this earth is of a few days. You need to also understand any man born on this earth is full of trouble. We always got something going on. They had a television show back in the 50s called The Honeymooners. Ralph was always into something. Ralph always had some new plan on how they were going to make it big, how he was going to make it rich, how he was going to do this. And Alice was about to go upside his head every single time. I remember watching a documentary on a movie that they made about The Honeymooners, and they were talking about how Ralph Crandom, Jackie Gleason, he's seen the vision of that show becoming successful, even a lot of people was against it. But he's seen these characters. They wanted to have other people, but he said, these are the people I need to make this show what it's going to be. I wasn't even born yet when that show came out. Well, I know. And it became me. I love to watch the show without the kids. It wasn't trashy. It was a nice show. It was about Ralph trying to make it when Alice wasn't interested in doing all this craziness. He just wasn't satisfied as a bus driver. And that's how man is today. We're never satisfied. I don't care what you give him. I don't care what you give man. He's going to want more, just like the children of Israel. The children of Israel was eating food that God gave a manna from heaven. They was eating it. Why they was eating? Biting you. Yum, yum, yum. They're lusting after more. You ain't even finished what you got. You have one more. Don't tell me I can't have more now. That's us. Job said, a man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Christ came on the scene to get us out of trouble. Oh, if you want to get out of trouble. If you don't want to get out of trouble, don't worry about it. You can just go stay in trouble till the day you die. That's all right. But the way was made for you to be free. This Resurrection Sunday, the way for you to be born again was made on Calvary, on that tree, outside the city, where Christ shed his blood. That's why he came. It wasn't no accident. It wasn't no mistake. That was his whole purpose. When you get saved, your whole purpose should be to be serving God so you can obtain eternal life, that you work out your soul salvation, that you can obtain eternal life and walk with God eternally. The enemy desires to sift you as wheat if he can. That's why you got to become steadfast in the faith of God's word. Not the church you go to, get steadfast in God's word. When you become steadfast in God's word, you can stand the storms of life. I'm telling you, you can. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will rise up standards to protect you. I'm not talking about something I don't know. I'm talking about something I know for a fact. God is real. Yes, he is. To as many as received them, to them he gained power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Let's move on. Let's go to John 3 and 7. John chapter 3, verse 7. John chapter 3 and verse 7. This is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I'll read it again. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He did not say ye must become a church member. Those of you watching the TV broadcast now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch every liberal soul under the sound of my voice watching this TV broadcast right now. I ask that you save them, oh God. I ask that you deliver them, oh God. I ask that you break yokes in their lives, oh God, and strength them to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. And those of you that are watching this TV broadcast, you can go to our YouTube page and finish watching the broadcast. This resurrection broadcast on being born again. It is at the Tabernacle of Deliverance Incorporated. Look under there for me, Pastor Bernard Wells. You'll find us. Okay, let's go on. Move on. Now, John 3:7 says, more than not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This is something interesting. This is interesting. Now, he didn't say you might. He didn't say you might be born again. He said ye must. Amen. Ye must be born again. You must be. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You must accept Christ as your personal Savior. You must allow Christ to come into your life. This is what Jesus said. You must. I don't know where y'all folks out there in TV land or online, where y'all get this theory about you go to church and you're saved. Jesus said here in John 3:7, ye must be born again. You must. You must accept Christ into your life. There's some false doctrine video going around telling people that they don't need to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. The scripture don't say that. The scripture says you need to have Christ in your heart and in your life. Who can go above Jesus Christ and says that joining a church is going to give you eternal life? Who? The Pope can't do it. No priest can do it. No bishop can do it. No apostle can do it. Nobody's above Jesus Christ. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he said, ye must be born again. Amen. You must. You're not going to attain eternal life. You're not going to make it into heaven. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You know, a lot of people go to church just like I said, they get all dressed up for Easter. I think Easter celebration, because that's what they're doing. Resurrection Sunday is about Jesus Christ rising from the dead, about nobody getting all decked out from head to toe, shoes sparkling, earrings sparkling, blinding everybody as you walk in the door, and the women coming in with their flying saucers. I call them flying saucers. The hats are so big you can't even see who's under it, and the men decked out in a three-piece suit, two-piece suit, double-breasted suit, looking good. And then drop a dollar in the offering plate. Because they ain't got no money. They spent it on all the outfit. But Jesus said, ye must be born again. Not might, not maybe, or can. He said, you must be born again. Why did he say you must be born again? Because he know most people in church are religious. He knows that. He knows that the church is just a religious location, a religious social club. He knows it. He know the synagogues in that day, they were selling chickens and doves and everything in it. He already knew what they were doing. They thought he didn't know. The dude was in heaven watching all along. You wasn't fooling him. He's watching now. We ain't psyching God. I mean, we can fool people. It's true. Us preachers sometimes, because we don't have the gift of discernment, people fool us. But Jesus said, ye must be born again. Not mine. Not thinking about it. Or hoping. You must be. And it's really something to think about when Jesus is saying that you must be born again. You must be. You have to be in order to miss the judgment that's going to fall. He's offering us an opportunity to be saved. Let's move on. Let's go to Galatians 4:29. Galatians 4:29 says, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. I'm going to read it again. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. That's a fact. You wonder why people persecute you? So they're after the flesh. They're not after the spirit. They're after the flesh. They're not after the things of God. They're after the flesh. They're seeking more of earthly stuff. You talk about spiritual stuff. You talk about consecrating and fasting. They don't want to. What? They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, but is any money in it? We gonna meet a pretty girl, pretty guy, good looking guy.
What kind of foolish? They'll persecute you because you have the things of the Spirit of God. When you become born again. I like that sound. Born again. You know what born again means? Start over. Born again means starting over. Being birthed from infant on up. I like that. As a babe in Christ, we got Christ to guide us as we walk along. I like that. But we got to be willing, folks, to obey him. We got to be willing to do what the Lord say do when he say do it, not when we want. The word of God never, ever changes. It never changes. We change. The Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. Verse 29 again says, but then as they... He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Those people that born after the world with a desire for the world, they don't want to hear nothing about you talking about spiritual stuff. They're going to get on your case. They're going to make fun of you at work. Young guys in school. When they say, in young guys in high school, junior high school, college, and they really say, they got to deal with guys talking about, you ain't get over nobody yet, you ain't get over her yet, you ain't do this yet. They got to go through all that kind of nonsense and persecution on a daily basis sometimes. Sometimes they get in the fights punching somebody out.
Or get punched out.
But they'll persecute you on the job also. When they say, well, Jesus drank wine. I had somebody in my car the other day. I picked up somebody and take them to the store. There was somebody else, and I was taking them to the store. So they went in the store and bought some stuff. Then they came in a car. No, I seen them, something in their hand. Then they went in the liquor store, and they're coming out. And they got in the car. I'm very vocal. I'm very plain. I said, okay, you know my rules. My first rule is do not bring any alcohol in my car. Do you know one of them said, Jesus drank wine? Oh, so I said, you got wine in that bottle, huh? In that bag? I said, let me tell you something. You get in my car, you don't bring no alcohol, no wine, no beer, no liquor, no nothing. I don't drink that stuff. Don't bring it in my car. Because you never know when the cops going to pull you over. These guys, these cops today say all kinds of stuff. You got to use wisdom. And they were young people too. They wasn't old folks. They were in their early, one in the 30s, one in the late 20s, one late 20s, mid 20s. But I don't care. You can drink all the alcohol and booze you want. You ain't doing it in my car. I'm born again. And I'm going to let you know how born again people live. That's your business if you want to do that. I don't care if you're taking it to your mama and y'all talk about y'all going to celebrate Easter. That's your business. Jesus turned water into wine. He didn't go get no grapes and press them. I ain't no dummy. I know God's word. Well, I'm going to say, Jesus drank wine, and he made wine. Yeah, he ain't pressed no grapes. He turned water into wine. Let's tell the truth. It's time to tell the truth, y'all. No, the Bible, I don't know where, I don't see nowhere in the Bible where Jesus drank bottled water. But I'm drinking bottled water. I know I'm a jokester, but the reason why I'm saying that, because I know what Jesus was drinking back then. I know what Jesus did at that wedding. He made water into wine. People take those scriptures and twist them up to satisfy themselves, but indeed, you got to understand the scripture. It does not change. The word of God never going to change. So it don't matter what people say. Preachers even do it. They got a little bottle under their desk. When they're upset about something, they open it up and drink it. Liar. I just got to be truthful. I like to drink bottled water because it's healthy. Keeps you clean and flush. And it tastes good when it's ice cold, when it's good water. My daily joke. Poland spring water. It tastes good. I should be a spokesman for that. I just love the dog, but it's really good. It's nice and crisp when it's ice cold. Tastes delicious in tea too. Okay, let's get back to spiritual things here. But the point I'm trying to say is, when you're born again, there's certain things you're not going to allow. You got to ask God to give you strength to say no. That's simple. When you're born again, you got to ask God to give you strength to say no. When that good-looking man is making you an offer, when that fine-looking woman is bent, hide. I remember I did a service for I preached at a graduation for a school, Christian school, one time. I'm lying out at this. There was this lady sitting on the front row. Her skirt was so short. I mean, I ain't never seen a shirt. That skirt was so short that I had to close my eyes while I preach and walk away. Did you hear me? I'm on the platform. I had to walk away. I had to close my eyes. I don't close my eyes when I preach, but I had no choice. Because they sat this woman on the front row. Her skirt was so short, she didn't need to have it on. Some people's heads are messed up upstairs that they don't know how to respect God's health. Above all, they don't know how to respect themselves. When you're born again, you got to use wisdom. You got to watch, because the enemy's always out there with some little scam. He reminds me of the spiders. They're crawling around. Or roaches. You ever seen roaches? When they come, ooh, check this out. You see one roach? There's a million behind them. You see one roach? There's a million. I'm not kidding you. They multiply fast. You see one, turn your back and see 10. Turn around again, you see 100. When you're born again, you super kill them. Oh, gosh, this is so funny. But the truth is, when you're born again, when you have been born of the Spirit of God, you have to make wise decisions. And you have to use wisdom. Galatians 4:29. But then that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. That's how people are. You wonder why people keep harassing you or persecuting you. Well, it's going to build up your faith and patience. But some of the people just born after the flesh. They don't want to hear nothing about spiritual things. They're not interested in that. I'm talking about church folks. I'm not talking about the world ain't interested in spiritual things in the first place. I'm talking about church folks. See that? You think I'm talking about the world? Oh, no. I'm generally talking about the church. Those people you see jumping up and down, they can dress better than you, shout better than you, they're more faithful to church better than you, but they won't live a thing. They'll persecute you when you start talking about you living right. When you start quoting scripture and you're interested in Bible study, you're interested in prayer meeting and all this stuff, they don't want to hear that. That don't interest them. They have no interest in that kind of stuff. This is Resurrection Sunday, as some people call Easter. But yet, look around. People get dressed up. Oh, places are having service. Some people are having outside service now because it's getting warm in certain states, and they're going outside. And they're still outdressing each other. One of the things I've learned is that your clothes do not amount to nothing in God's sight. Not when it comes down to eternal life. Your money, your clothes, your stock, your car, your house, to God, it's worthless. It don't equal eternal life. He's more interested in you living a life before him than anything else. God is interested in you living a life before him on a daily basis than anything else. God is interested in the life you live each day. God is interested in the conversations you have, because your conversation is in heaven. You got to understand that God hears everything and sees everything we do. That's why he knows all, sees all, and tells all. Let's move on. Let's go to John 3 and 6. Back in the book of John, John 3 and 6. Look at that verse, John 3 and 6. Listen to this, John 3 and 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Did you hear that? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why the two constantly fight. The spiritual man and the natural man, they're out of boom, 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 boom. They're rumbling. Somebody's going to win either the spiritual man or the flesh going to win. Yeah. Why are they warring? Because they don't get along. The man that's born of the fleshly side of you wants the things of the world, and that's just a fact. The man, the natural man, this body here wants the things of the world. We want stuff that make us feel good. The spiritual man wants spiritual food so he can live eternally. The flesh ain't living eternally, so he wants everything. Give it to me right now. I want everything right now. That's our mentality. That's how we think. That's how we function on the fleshly side. Amen. I drink water, as I told you before. I love to drink water. Don't get me wrong. The natural man needs nourishment, but the spiritual man can continue to live in us. However, the natural man overdoes everything. The spiritual man wants to learn more about God. He wants to communicate with God. But the fleshly man wants to communicate with flesh. Amen. The natural man wants to watch TV, videos, or do whatever he wants to do. He's not interested in God. This is the funny part about the natural man. The natural man was born of God. God created the natural man. He still don't want to reciprocate back to God. He still do not want to glorify God. He don't want to do it. Because he likes being appeased and robbed. That, come on. Y'all, everybody know. It's true. All of us want somebody to pat us, make us feel good. Feed our bellies, make us feel yummy. The natural man. It's just the opposite of that. He wants what God has for him. He wants God's will. The natural man don't want God's will. He wants his will or whoever else will. The natural man wants to lead somebody. Somebody else lead them somewhere, anywhere. But the spiritual man wants to be led by God so he don't be lost eternally. They fight and rumble with each other. They struggle. being born again means being born of the Spirit of God. You're already born of your mama. You may not like your mama. You may hate your daddy. The spiritual man loves God. He loves his eternal Father. That's why we call him Abba Father. When you look at being born again today, it's just a piece of garbage. They're just churching. They're not being born again. All these prophets run around saying that the end of the world is going to be, I think it's either it's supposed to happen now, at the end of the summer or early fall. So now they're saying Jesus is going to come either between the end of the summer or the early fall. I told them you're liars. I call them all liars. Why? Because the Bible said only God the Father. No, he ain't telling no mortal man. He ain't telling us nothing, and I don't blame him. You think if God told some preacher when he was sending back Jesus, that preacher lived right? No, he would not. He's not going to get right to the day before the Lord. He might even wait till the minute before the Lord comes. I don't trust man. And he might not tell a soul. That would make it worse. He may not tell nobody that Jesus is coming back at all. Just tell him and his family, hey, honey, Jesus is coming back on September 3rd. Make sure you're right. Tell the kids to make sure they're right. No, I'm serious. That's why God don't trust no man with that kind of information. In fact, he wouldn't even tell Jesus when he was sending him back. Now, how these turkeys know? Huh? They doing all the so-called mathematical stuff and chronological chopping, and they're going to put the A's and Q's and R, and then they're putting all the numbers together and rounding them all out, and they're putting everything together. They know when Jesus is coming back. And I say, I know when he's coming back too. They say, you know too. Yes, he's coming back when his Father sends him. He's coming back when his Father sends him. He's not coming back when no man said, God is not mocked. You're not going to mock God. Not going to happen. He ain't telling nobody when Jesus is coming back. And I'm so glad. Nobody got that over nobody. So, verse 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You wonder why some people are so fleshy in church, because that's what they are, flesh. They haven't received the Spirit of Christ to say, Abba Father. They're just religious. They haven't received Jesus Christ into their hearts and their personal Savior. They haven't received him into their hearts and into their lives. They got God in their head. You got to get God in your life, not in your head. Get God out of your head and get him in your life. Let's move on. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Listen to this. First Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'll read it again. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which abideth and liveth forever. And liveth and abideth forever. Did you hear that? Being born again of a seed from God, through Christ rising from the dead, shedding his blood on Calvary, when he rose from the dead. We obtain that seed when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, and it's incorruptible. It's not some seed from some man. That's the difference. We're being born because of the incorruptible, eternal seed, not some corruptible seed from some nasty old man that wanted to lie with your mama. Then she found out he had 20 children. I'm not joking, that stuff happened. And he got a woman in every state. I know somebody like that. I know some actors that one actress, she had a man in every state, and the woman looked like the creeps. I can't call her name because everybody know who she is. That's the wrong age, everybody know who she is. But she was an ugly woman. But she had a man in every state. I don't know what charm she used, but she had a man in every state. She even confessed it. But God gave us an incorruptible seed versus the corruptible seed that we were born with. That's why we were born in sin, because the seed was corrupt from the get-go. But now that we've been born again of an incorruptible seed, that incorruptible seed should be shining through us, and people will see the life of Christ in us each day. Not someday, not sometime, but every single day, that incorruptible seed that you have received in your life should shine through you. The Bible said we're a city that sit on a hill that cannot be hit. Oh, if we don't want to be hit. Christ died and rose, and we would be able to sit on a, be a city that sits on a hill. So the scripture says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the what? The word of God which liveth. Did you hear that? The word of God that what? Liveth. See, this word of God is living. Keep telling people that. This word is alive. And it abideth forever. The word of God is never going to change. The word of God is still going to be the word of God. The word of God is still going to perform. It's what it's supposed to perform. It's us. If you truly want eternal life, you got to repent of your sins. Let's move on. Let's go to John 3 and 8. We're going back to John. John 3 and 8. John 3 and 8 says, now listen to this. This is an interesting scripture. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, whether it goeth and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'll read it again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What is he saying? Ah, yeah, what was that? Listen to this. You already know the first part of that scripture is a fact. You know you hear the sound of the wind blowing. You can feel the breeze on you, hitting you, whether it's heavy or light. But you can't see it. You can see the dust and dirt blowing through it, but you can't see it. You can only see the stuff blowing, but you can't see the wind. You can hear it and you can feel it, but you can't see it. Isn't that something? You can feel and hear the wind blowing, but you can't see it. Isn't that amazing? There's no way for you to stop the wind from blowing. It's going to blow. Whether you cover yourself or not, the wind's going to blow, but you still can't. What am I saying? The same thing goes for people that are saved. You can't tell who's really getting saved. You'll only be able to see the life they live. Did you hear me? You're not able to tell everybody that goes up to the altar whether or not they got saved tonight. You're not going to be able to tell. You're only told by the person that the life they live, and the Spirit of God has been moved through them, and you'll see God moving through them.
Amen.
It's true. It's a fact. The Word of God will blow the spirit of that person. That person is going to move. That person will grow and leave you right where you at. Because you don't know which way the Spirit is going to take that person. That Spirit of God is going to take that person and take them further than you ever go. You may be the person that lead them to Christ, and they go further than you ever go. And that's my case.
Amen.
The people that led me to the Lord never got to do a television broadcast. Never got to go online. Never. They never got through that. I don't even know if they're still alive. However, God take them further. God will take you further. My goal is to get you to go further than God. Forget about me. Grow in God and go forward. Win some souls for him. The Bible says, he that win them souls is wise. Become wise in God's word. Become anointed. I know I'm not screaming and yelling the way the other preachers are doing. That's not what God wants right now. I can do that. He needs me that way, but that's not what he needs. I need to tell you the way it is. The way it's coming. When we are born again, the Spirit of God is going to direct our path the way we're supposed to go if we want to go that way. You don't have to. You could do whatever you want to do. You could do whatever you could do whatever you want to do. You could go any way you want to go. You could go any way you want to go. And you could do whatever you want to do. But, however, when you obey the Spirit of God,
amen,
God will bless your life. God will bless your life.
Amen.
Yes, he will. The Word of God never changes. It never ceases. It never stops. It always does what it's supposed to do. It's us.
Amen.
It's us that don't do what we're supposed to do. We do everything but what God say do. Amen? But when we do it God's way, we get God's results.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing to know. When we do what God say do, we get godly results. We get the results that God wants us to have. But when we do it our way, we get our results. And then we cry. And then we complain. And then we fret that it didn't come out right. But we got to do it God's way if we're going to be born again. We got to do it God's way. We got to go down the route that God said go. It's not a popular message. This is Resurrection Sunday. Everybody preaching about Jesus coming out of the tomb. He didn't tell me to preach that. He told me to tell you about being born again. The people watching the TV broadcast need to know that they need to be born again and stop running around buying Easter bunny and Easter baskets and get saved and get to know Jesus Christ and a pardon of their sins. Let's move on. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. We just about finished. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. Now this verse here is a very interesting verse. Oh, that water's good. I'm drinking water today because it's tasty. Okay. Verse 11 of chapter 9 of the book of Romans, it says, for the children not yet born, neither have done good or evil, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Let me read it again. For the children not yet born, neither had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. What in the world is God saying? I tell you. Remember I told you Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sin? He died for our sin before we were born. The scripture here tells it right here. For the children yet not born. That's us. That's those that's going to come in the future. Neither having done any good or evil. That the purpose of God according to the election might stand. According to him that calleth. You think about this scripture. God foreshadowed every living soul that will be born. There's books in heaven. One is called the Book of the Living. Record all the living people that ever lived on this planet. That's why I tell you there's many books in heaven. Scripture says so. This scripture brings out a really unique point. When people say, when you talk to somebody about the Lord, they say, how I know God loved me? It's right here. It's right here. It says, for the children yet not born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. God. Who in 38 times spoke to the prophets, telling them that Christ would come, telling them that Christ would bring deliverance to those that wanted it. The apostles, on the other hand, spoke into the future to us. That's just amazing. The apostles' job was put forth the word of God to the future. That we may get God's word, accept Christ as our personal Savior, and become born again. And then go on and tell somebody else how to become born again. The Bible says, to many as received him, to them they gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. One way to become born again. The next one, another way to be born again, the Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that something? The Bible said God so loved the world that whoever believed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's many scriptures in the Bible and the New Testament tells us how to be saved. All salvation in God is the same. There's no different salvation. You may call on the Lord, Lord, save me. And he might save you just like that. Somebody may get on and on and say, Lord, you said, if I confess my sins and believe in my heart that you have raised Jesus from the dead, I would be saved. They get saved that way. Because that's what the scripture says. We must be willing to allow God to become part of our life. We must be willing to allow God to save us, mostly from ourselves, because we are our biggest enemies. Most of us are our utter, utter biggest enemy. We just do all kind of dirt to ourselves. We tempt ourselves. We play dead games on ourselves. But dear, whether or not I'll get hurt if I ride down that hill, all kind of dumb stuff. God needs to save us from ourselves. And we also need to be saved from sin, sickness, and disease. Hope that anybody watches television broadcast or a podcast or whatever way you're listening to this message today. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I offer you an opportunity to give your life to Him now. No magic or none of that other foolishness. I mean, I just want a person for prayer with you and you pray along with me. Allow Christ to come into your life. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to save me right now. Come into my heart and my life right now and save me. I believe that you rose on the third day and you're now sitting on the right hand of God. I thank you for coming into my life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just a simple prayer. Anybody can pray. Call on God sincerely from your heart. He's going to save them. There's no particular prayer. I know people say, oh, you're giving them a... I'm just praying along with you. Oh, listen, I just want to tell everybody that's watching. There's some a couple of things I want to say before we go. One, we're on the 50-day consecration. We're eating after 5 o'clock each day. We start at midnight tonight, and we don't eat again until 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. Make sure you eat dinner tonight. And we're praying and reading our Bible and looking for God to give us direction in our lives and ministry and what God wants to do. We're doing this for 50 days, one day at a time. Don't rush it, one day at a time. Eating after 5 o'clock. Some people may be on medication. Let the Lord lead you as you do the consecration. Some of you may do half a day or whatever, but let the Lord lead you. Also, go to the website, the Tabernacle Deliverance, ISC.org, and you'll be able for next week. On Tuesday, I'll have the Bible study lesson on here for you. And you can also leave a prayer request, and you can also leave a testimony, and you also can come upon and help us with the podcast and the television broadcast that we do. And be faithful to God. Let God continue to use you. I will see you on Wednesday evening. I'm hoping the Twitter issue is straightened out by Wednesday. But until then, ever since Periscope ended, everything being all crushed up. So we have it running now, but I don't know if it's coming out properly. All right, now I will see you on Wednesday night, Lord willing. God bless you.